prayers again.
Yes.
That's normal. Always need the saints' prayers. A lot of places, things come along, things don't look right. Sometimes we get up and look like everything goes wrong. Nothing works right. You ever had them kind of days? We thank the Lord that the song said we're in the rock of ages should my courage fail. There's not a dark foreboding in the fiercest gale. Hiding, safely hiding. Hiding till the billows pass me by. So we thank the Lord tonight.
Yes, Lord.
For the grace of God, for salvation, and for the privilege of serving God. There's so many people don't know. They're just wandering around, drifting here and there. But it's a privilege to know God for yourself tonight. And we appreciate that. We get well acquainted with Him. The better we get acquainted with Him, the lesser we see of ourselves. We thank the Lord for the mercy of God tonight. I was kind of tearing from my sister here. She kept sitting there again tonight. Well, I believe they said something about the woman is the weaker vessel, so I'll be the old workhorse tonight, best I can. So you pray for me, Sister Lawson. You, Lord bless us and help us. We're going to talk a little bit about adorning the doctrine. I believe most of us in here tonight are saints, and we know about the doctrine. You've heard it taught before. It's nothing new. It's the same old doctrine. It's old, but it's ever new. One fellow told me, he said, Bible is dry and it don't have much taste to it. I said, well, the taste is supposed to be in you, not in the Bible, in you. You know, they say water is tasteless, what, tasteless, odorless, shapeless, colorless. And there's one more. What is that? But whatever it is, if it's tasteless, it sure tastes good to me. And salvation, the Bible is a dry book if you're not saved. But the taste has to have to be in you. That's where the taste comes in. So we appreciate the blessed old Bible and what little bit we can understand and glean out of it. Pearls and gems and diamonds. Gold. Well of good water. You know, back in Oklahoma, we used to help dig wells, and we'd only go down 30 foot. When you dig 30 foot in a well, you get that surface water, and it's bad. You want to get good water, you go down about 190 foot, close to 200 feet, you get good water every time, wherever you are, just about. Because you're getting the water that God put down there. This surface water, it runs off the ground and soaks in the ground, and then it's, and I tell you, some bad drinking water, but this number 92 says, oh, drink of the river of pleasure. Yeah. A deep, deep living stream of delight.
Yeah.
Flows in the bosom forever. Flashes in heaven's pure light.
Amen.
That's pure water. That's the saving kind. That's the kind you don't have to wash your head in that one there. Mm-hmm. Lord, wash you on the inside. All right, let's see. We'll talk a little bit about the adorning the doctrine. What does the word adorn mean, Brother Cox? Are you a college graduate?
Yes.
What the word adorn mean?
To make attractive.
Decorate. Make it look good. All right. And it means to wear, put on something. Adorn means to put on. So, adorning the doctrine. Now, the doctrine of God, you look at a saint of God walking along sometime, and they look good. Just look at them, it looks good. You don't have to dress up and do all of this and all that, all the other, but just keep yourself clean and go modest and your looks real good. I was back inside of a store back home one time, and the woman that run the store, her and her husband looked towards the front, and I heard, said, look, come here. Calling somebody else over there. I run to the door to see what's going on. She was so... I said, there's dear old Sister Tommy. They looked at me and got a, walked on back, went on back to work. I said, a saint of God. They don't know nothing about that. Foreign language to them. But we know about the joyful sound, and we know about when we love to see the saints of God wherever they at, whoever they are, and wherever they come from. Whatever the case may be, if he's a saint, that's a chosen person.
Yes, amen.
Didn't I? Let's see, was that Matthew 22:14, maybe somewhere along there? Many are called, but a few are chosen. You take a man that's getting some things together here in this natural world, and he's got to choose a specific type. He gets the best he can get. Looks things over real close. No defects. And when God chooses you, you've got to believe no sin's there. His eye sees every precious thing. Nothing escapes his attention.
Amen.
And when Jesus said, these are mine that thou gavest me, they are clean folks. They are holy people. We had a lady right down the street from us, belonged to some movement down the same street. They got to the place where they would wear their pants in the choir and all that kind of caroling, and she got fed up with it. And that woman actually got saved on that place. And she said, I'm going down here where the lively folks is. She came down there. She had a justified experience, but she didn't seem to ever get any farther. She stayed there for about 3 years with us. And then just all at once, dropped out. Got her a little group, she called them a prayer band or some kind, and went her way. But God help us, the lively folks.
Yes.
We've got something to sell, or to demonstrate, and to give away, or to give out, or to put it out so people can get used to it.
Yes.
And it's something to be seen. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Now, in that position or that condition, whatever it is, a light of the world. In other words, all of the lights that around about these little lights and blurred lights and dark light, all those things, ye are the light of the world in a city that sets on a hill. Mount Zion is her name. David said, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Psalms 48 and something back there. Mount Zion. And Solomon said, there's none like her in all the earth. She stands out above. She still lives upon the bright hills of glory, and she reigns over sin all the time. Song said that, but the book of God said it too. There is no sin in him. None in you if you are in him. Because we don't carry nothing in there. If we go in there, we're clean when we get inside there. All right, get your Bibles and read a little bit for us and help us out here tonight and pray for us. Somebody get John 18, chapter 19, verse. Someone get Matthew 7, 28 and 29. And someone get Proverbs 4, 1 and 2.
Proverbs 4, 1 and 2.
St. John 7, 16 and 17.
St. John 7, 16 and 17.
All right, let's see if it's anything else you want to start off with. 1 Samuel 15, 22, 23.
1 Samuel?
Yes, ma'am. 1 Samuel 15, 22, 23. May the Lord help us out tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Obedience is better than sacrifice, what the Bible says. And may the Lord bless our hearts tonight. And help us to absorb this if we can. You know, the if you want a cake to be real sweet, get you a dill pickle just ahead of it. If you can eat that, you're sweet. The cake's going to be sweet. Well, I'll serve as the dill pickle. May the Lord and Sister Mary finally comes along where she'll give us something that's real sweet. But may the Lord help us. What I'm saying is, if you can accept this tonight, well, may not have much taste to it, but she'll come along after a while. God help us out tonight, because I promise to tell you the truth.
Yes, Lord.
I love the truth. I love it because it's been so good to me and brought me from a long ways, and Christ blessed me. I look back sometime, He blessed me from day one up until now. My father died when he was about 37, 38 years old. Died a young man, all of my family. We had a big family, all of them was gone. There's one brother left, and he's an alcoholic, and done drank himself to death, and he's got that liver condition. He's got high blood pressure, and some of the three things they told me he had, all three of them is killers. God help us, because we're going to die.
Yes.
We're going to have to leave here. We didn't come here to stay anyhow. Doctrine. The dawning of the doctrine. All right, St. John. 18th chapter, about the 19th verse, I believe. That's correct. Read it, whoever has it.
The high priest then asked you of his disciples and of his apostles. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world, as I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always besought, and in secret have I said nothing.
All right. That's good enough right there. The high priest then asked Jesus, his disciples, and of his doctrine. Of his teachings. They were dumbfounded and they were startled at the things that Jesus and his disciples did. When John the Baptist came out on the, wherever he come from, out of the wilderness, I believe he was clothed with camel's hair. His meat was locusts and wild honey. They said he was a hairy man, I think he was. And imagine, a man show up, a great big hairy man. I assume he's a big man, but man was usually a larger stature back there, I guess. Got a camel skin wrapped around him. Eating locusts and wild honey, eating them bugs. And he come, now he come, I believe, was to turn the fathers to the children, so forth and so on. He come preaching repentance. You better repent, something they hadn't heard before. Came out of the wilderness at that. So when he came, the Bible said they mused in their hearts about him, wondering, startled in many areas. But he came preaching repentance. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And anything that's at hand, I believe that would mean it's in reach. This, and now you can get it if you want. It's right here. And not too long after that, Jesus came along preaching the same thing. Now, when John came, they called him a gluttonous man? Let's see, he didn't drink. Now, one of them, they called Jesus, one of them, a wine bibber, a gluttonous man. I think that was Jesus, wasn't it?
Yes.
But John came neither eating nor drinking. And I don't remember just what they did call him. But nobody escapes the strife of tongues. See, he had a devil? That what it is? He had a devil. No man escapes the strife of tongues. You, me, or nobody else. You are going to get talked about. I've seen Jesus come into this world, no sin, no nothing, just a plain common individual, as it were, telling people nothing but the truth and telling them the things that was good for them. And he went over there and cast them devils out of that man, and they went in those swine and went off in that water and drowned there, and they got scared, and they began to urge him to get out of our country. Go yonder. And there they was talking to the King of Kings, the Lord of all the earth, and the one that has life, gives you life and breath, and get out of a town. We don't get out of a country. Don't want to hear nothing about you. We're scared of you. All right. About his doctrine. Truth, he was teaching nothing but truth. And there one time, they sent those people out there to get him, and according to the history books, they got saved. Went out, they got out to get listeners, and one place in the scripture says, why have ye not brought him? They said, no man spake like this man. That's a fact. No man spake like him before nor after, like him. Because he speaks, and there's life, eternal life. And so no man spake like this man. All right, let's read on. I want to get down to, let's see, there's a scripture. Look over your, no, you haven't got to that yet. Go ahead and read just like I gave it out to you. 7 Matthew 28 and 29.
And it came to pass,
amen,
when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine.
Yes.
For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes.
Not as the scribes. All right, the scribes was hypocritical, and them fellows, they loved to get the high seats, get up in Moses' seat. And he came to pass, when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished. They just didn't know what to say. For he taught them as one having authority, and he did have authority. God bless our hearts tonight. He still got authority tonight.
Yes.
He wants you and I. He wants you and I to so live that we can have authority. We need authority too. And so you pray for us, and we pray for each other for that matter, and because time is running out, and the masses of people are lost, and I have my children, all of us lost, and my kinfolks are out. They don't know nothing about God, just wandering around. And it hurts. You look on them sometime and wonder, what are they thinking about? And know they're going to leave here, getting up in age, and people dying all around them. And my brother-in-law, his mother and father were saved when he was born. He ain't bothered about it, one way or the other. And so, sometimes when someone dies close around, he kind of shakes him up. And I kind of wish I'd have been there. He lives with a woman, and her youngest son died, laying in the bed, died yesterday morning. Sunday morning, guess what? And I know he's scared. He ain't got over it this quick. Because right in one room, just a wall between them, and the man just went to sleep and didn't get up. Got a hold of that bad plague just out in the world today, killing a lot of people. Got a hold of that thing messing around with children. Saints, children, the devil is waiting for you. And God bless you. You got the best chance in the world to get yourself in a place where you'll never see that kind of stuff. You won't ever be a devil in it. But just as sure as you stay out there, the enemy's going to get you. You have nothing to resist him, so you go on. And one of these days, call Mama, call Papa, I'm in trouble. He's setting, he can outwait you and I. And he see you, he know what kind of mind you got. There's a lot of children, just real little fellows, but they'll be glad when they get grown. I said it. But I'm going to tell you something. I wished I could have gotten back in there and just lived. I didn't know how good a time I was having. Got up and left home. I tell you, the enemy is waiting to get a hold of you, young folks. Old folks, too, for that matter. But I believe most old ones sitting here tonight are saved. And they are on the right track. And they're trying their best to get you to follow in their steps, if you will. They've been along there where you, and they know their experience teaches them about the things that you are going to have to face. And the love we have for our children, I'll sit and look at them sometime. And if I just get to thinking about them, and I'll go to crying, just I can't help it. because my soul goes out after them children. They're out there and all that stuff, and they don't know what they're doing. God gave you that soul, and that soul within you knows that it's going to have to appear back over yonder. The soul is eternal.
Yes.
And we get down here and we take our liberty and start running after the flesh and all these ungodly things. I saw a young man went to the hospital to visit one man, and I was visiting him, and some fellow said, "Stop by a certain little room." There was a young man, 20 years old, and done got into that mess, and his flesh was falling off of his bones. No cover, because he had a canopy over him, and he's laying there. I stopped in and had prayer with him, talked to him, and his flesh was just rotting away, just falling off his bones. Well, he finally went on out. There are some things that are popping up on the bodies of human beings. Nobody never heard it over in this part of the country.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse. And we never know when we'll come to a crisis. We're going to come to a Red Sea. One of these days, you young folks, you're going to come to a Red Sea and you're going to wonder, how am I going to get out of this? And to you, it'll be impossible. But we're trying to point you to one tonight. If you'll take up his way,
yes,
he'll lead you around all those things that other children are getting at. Look in your schoolmates in the schools. I don't have to make it plain. Look at them. See what they're doing. Look how they're coming out. Look what they're having. Little children committing suicide. When you ever heard children thing like that? Committing suicide. Mother up home scolded a little boy for something, and he went in somewhere in some other part of the house and took his sheet and tied around his neck and hung himself over the door, I believe it was, tied it to the knob and got up there and onto something and tongued it around his neck and jumped on that thing and killed himself. Real young. Now, God bless us. When we are young, some children come to the age of accountability earlier than others. But once you reach the age of accountability, where you know it's wrong to lie and to steal and to cheat and to swear and dabble in these things, when you come to that place, your sins are going to be upon your head from there on out.
Yeah.
Now, the blood of Jesus Christ atones for little children.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far along they have to go, but I know when you begin to get light and begin to understand what's right and wrong, responsibility sets in. And so God bless you, young folks, and the Lord wants He have need of you.
Yes, amen.
All right, may the Lord bless us now and help us out. We'll go a little farther. Let's see, where were we reading at? Who read the last scripture? Matthew 7?
Yeah, Matthew 7.
7:28. All righty.
Proverbs.
Cherubi, Proverbs 4:1-2, I believe, is next.
Hear ye children.
The instruction of a father.
And attend to know understanding.
I give you good doctrine. That tells me that's indicative of there's some doctrine that's not good doctrine.
Yeah.
Here's some doctrine there. He said, I give you good doctrine.
Forsake not my law.
Don't forsake my law.
Yes.
Right across the page there it says here, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction? And my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly of saints. Sitting up in here, the devil will have you sitting in here prodding for something when I get out of here. And because we didn't obey, the scripture says, that's in 1 Thessalonians, I believe, because they received not a love for the truth, he turned them over to a reprobate mind. Because they believed not the truth. They received not their love for the truth. He turned them over to something else. God help us. When God forsakes us, children, we are in trouble.
Yes.
And if we've fooled around, and somewhere along the way, there's some people go beyond the point of return. They go beyond. God quit dealing with them. Last time I seen Brother Sam Barton, he said he went for, 12 years? You ever tell that to anyone? I think it was 12 years he left God. 12 years he didn't see or hear or feel nothing. He said, I was miserable. But I believe he kept attending service. Finally, one time, the Lord began to talk to him again. Give him a chance to get saved. Everybody won't have that chance. Some people go that distance where he went and get cut off out there. Are you adorning, are you putting on the things of God, wearing them, and making attracted the way? That's the thing that attracted my attention, was the way that Brother Johnson lived and my mother-in-law. The way they live, it attracted my attention. I always regarded God as God. I would curse and swear so long and loud, but I'd never put his name in. I had that much sense to keep his name out of it. And when I was 7 years old, I used to open the song service of a Methodist church, as big as this one right here. I'd always wake, and they had an old song about Just Over in the Glory Land. That was the song I'd start the Sunday service every Sunday with that. And they nicknamed me Preacher. People living in Los Angeles, but living in Los Angeles now, they still call me Preacher. And I love God as much as a sinner could love him, I guess. Like him, I may have said like that. Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And whatever that is in there, for what it's worth. But anyhow, children, keep your hearts, you young folks, keep your hearts tending towards God, and old folks too. Keep your heart tending towards God. Things may arise that you don't understand. Mother and daddy may say things you might not like, but take it anyhow. Be an asset to your family instead of a liability. Because they are not going to tell you wrong. They'll do anything they can for their children. That's one thing about any mother. Build and catch a fire, and the mother got a child in there. If they don't catch and hold a shoe, go in that fire and go in and try to get him out and lose your life in there. Old man ain't quite that brave. He don't do that. He just stand back out there and hate to see him burned up, and he ain't hardly go in there. There's a lot of fire in there. But a mother will. Your mother is mother love is the next love to God's love. And so they're even getting away from that. You know, now when a baby is born, the first thing they do is put him in a cage back there and give him a nipple, a bottle. And the mother may not ever nurse that baby. That is what brings a child and his mother closeness together. Is that breastfeeding and staying with that child? That's what makes that closeness between a mother and a child. Yeah. But if that separates them, if that don't happen, some people, babies still know more about the baby than the mother do in some areas. And that's one thing President Truman told the truth. If he never tell it again, he said, I don't believe in when a baby's born, get a babysitter and let them take care. And I don't either. But some people, I know circumstances will force some mother that they have to go to work. I know that. Yes. Don't say he's saying that we can't work at all. I didn't say that. I'm making myself clear that some circumstances will force a lot of mothers out into the job market, and that's hurting the family.
Yes.
That's eroding the family life. But it has to be done, so sometimes the man leave them. And sometimes they're lazy. They don't like to work. And so on and on and on. But God bless you. I believe the Lord said, I'll be a husband.
Yes.
I'll be a father.
Yes.
And I believe he said, your mother and your father may put you down, but I'll not forsake you. I'll stay with you. All right, read us. Who has the next one here? Oh, this time is getting away from you. What did I say? St. John 17:16. Did we read that already?
St. John 17:16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.
Amen. My doctrine, my truth, my word, the things that I teach, the things that I stand for, the way that I teach you, that's the way it is. That's the way my doctrine. All right, let's see. Somebody get me, that's Matthew 5 and 28. Read that right now as soon as you find. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do the will of God, God's will is that you get saved. That you repent, confess your sins, and quit all of it. Get out of it altogether and get saved. That's the will of God. His will is, he was, God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. And the writer says in Revelation, blessed are they that do his commandments, they might have a right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. Surely we're going to, would to God, we took hold of this and got a hold of it and got saved if we leave here unsaved, because we don't have an excuse. And there'll be nobody down there to aid you or to favor you. You're going to be alone if you go down there lost. Nobody says, well, I've been here a long time, and come around on this side, it's a little not quite so hot around you. Won't be nothing like that. You're going to be alone. And you'll have no friends if you go down there. And we don't have an excuse to go. And why should I be? There's no reason why we should be lost, knowing what we know. Knowledge increases, and may God bless us. We that's what it said about knowledge. Well, I can't get that right. Anyhow, it says about God filling the earth, being all in the earth, and so forth and so on. If you want to know about God, you can get a hold to him now. See, the repentance, most places teach repentance. They don't believe in a lot of it, but they know the Bible teaches, so therefore they teach it. All around, you can hear plenty about repentance. Now, if you don't know what repentance means, you ask some old person, some person that's kind of old, ask them, what, that's a saint of God. Go to the man or the woman of God. Ask them, what does repentance mean? They'd be glad to tell you. It means a turning around, a forsaking. 180 degrees if you're going this way and you turn and go back. Is that 180 degrees?
Yes.
It means a 180 degree turnaround. Who has that in Matthew 5:28? Let's see, did I say I said Acts 5:28, didn't I? Did I say Matthew? I meant Acts, excuse me. Lord bless us and help us out.
Same. Well, let me start at 27.
All right.
When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.
Lord have mercy. All right. 5:27:20. And when they had brought them, they set them, before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach? And behold, I would to God tonight we could fill Bakersfield with this doctrine.
Yes, amen.
I wish we could. Wish we had some way of getting it all over Bakersfield. Behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, they were bringing this man's blood upon themselves. They said one place, these men have come here and turned the world upside down. We are trying to turn it like it belonged at the first place. They are the ones that turned everything upside down. Wrong, going all kind of ways. But the saints of God is trying to turn it the way it was in the beginning. The right way. But they said, we turn the world upside down. If that's meaning, if that's what that means, God bless you and let us turn it upside down if that's the way they see it. Because we need to do something to them. Our lives, I don't mean this in wrong, I don't really know how to explain this, but it should be questionable for God. They should be able in this neighborhood, in my neighborhood, and all around, those folks are fanatics down there. And because we live so close to God, we adhere to the old Bible principles, And the things that God taught way back, I tell people sometimes, what do you believe in? I say, I believe in God. Well, what I mean is, what kind of church you belong? I say, I belong to one he built. Well, what do you mean? What I mean is, we adhere to the very basic things that God taught from the very beginning. When we get old enough to understand, it's right that we need to repent. I say, we go from there. We believe in God. We believe he said everything we in here, when it's rightly divided, you understand, he made everything we put in, he put it in you. Well, a man wrote it. I said, yes, but God inspired holy men of old to write it, and they wrote what they were inspired and told to do by God himself, and if they didn't do what this book said, they are lost. No respect of person. Well, then what do you do? We go from there. This salvation, the holy living, it feeds. I mean, it's self-sustaining. Maybe that would be one word, maybe. And we feed upon the things that we are fed out of the Bible. And if you eat enough of this, it'll put spiritual growth on your backbones. But you got to eat the little book and eat it all, preferring none above the other. Well, that's kind of hard to do, isn't it? I said, the Bible said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. They questioned me so close one time down to the big bank I was working in down there. They brought up something. I said, my father don't allow me to do that. Everybody been to look around. See, this old man is here about 75 years, about 72 years old, And his father? I said, my father don't allow me to do that. I saw they was wondering, so I went, my God don't allow me to do it. I took a job there. It was real easy. And the first day I went in there, you got to make the coffee for us. Well, I know I don't drink coffee, and I don't make coffee for somebody else to drink. So I went ahead and made that coffee. And Sunday morning, I was teaching, and something came up about coffee. I felt so cut down, I stayed quiet on my coffee deal on that side. But when I got back home, I went to the job, and I went up to the vice president, went on over them little fellows. He said, what can I do for you this morning, Jim? I said, I got a problem, and I want you to work it out for me, or else you pay me off this morning. I'm quitting. Why, what's the matter? I said, them boys tell me I'm going to have to come in here every morning early enough to make them a big pot of coffee. I said, I don't make coffee with nobody, and I don't drink the stuff. He said, well, if they want coffee, let them make it themselves. I said, all right, thank you. They warned me one time, said, your job depends. Listen, I live for God, and I've got along for all these years, and no job don't hold me. Because I figure I'll get fired for saying the right thing. No. I ain't got no better sense than that. One told me one time, you crazy anyhow, so I ain't got no better sense than that. I believe God will take care of me. I don't care what I get into. And that's the way I operate, and I find out it pays great dividends. All right. Where do we go from here? May the Lord help us out. And spread, you build Jerusalem with your doctrine. Must have had a pretty wide effect on them fellows that didn't feel Jerusalem. They were wondering and they didn't know what to do. And they, when you're around where truth is being taught, saints are living this life out, and if you are not living like you ought to, you feel uneasy. You should, anyhow. But sometimes I know, I hear these, sometimes these people are not saved coming out of monk, and you call any song you want, they sing it as loud as you sing it. Ain't living right, but they sing it. Just go ahead and sing it. It should be touched. People are not as tender today as they used to be. 15 years ago, I saw Brother Eulis Phillips preach a message in Wichita, Kansas one time, and they had that bench. Well, you all been to Wichita, some of you have. And that bench filled up three times. 15 years ago. He shook that building. I mean, them folks up there that night with the real message of salvation, and it worked. It had its effect on the people. It done got old. I saw him coming down the road, coming down the streets. Might have been more than 15 years ago. I don't know, but it's been a long time. And I said, "Who's that old man walking down?" He said, "That's Brother Eulis." I thought he was out here, but after that, I think he moved out here. Someone passed away after that. But are you adorning the doctrine, making attracted the way? Now, to make a thing attractive, you got to show it to someone. And our lives are to be the attraction.
Yes.
The way we live, our conduct, our conversation, our talking. And you can't do this joining in. You walk up sometime where a bunch of your co-workers is, and they may be cracking filthy jokes. Don't give him one smile.
Amen.
Don't give him one. If you can't keep him smiling, leave the place. Don't go someplace else. Because if you smile at him, that's enticing him to tell another one.
Yeah.
And I cut them fellows off, including the vice president. I cut them off so many times down at that bank. Last time, we was just before I retired, we was all in there getting our instructions for the day, and one fellow started off with his snotty joke, and the vice president said, "Jim, don't want to hear it." I said, "That's right. I don't want to hear it at all." And I told him the same thing. He's a big man in that place down there. But you just can't do it. Those are some of the little. That's the little thing. You say, "Well, there ain't no harm in that." Yes, there is a harm in it. I believe I read in the scripture where it said, "That which is not of faith is sin," something like that. And everything that happens in this wide world is either right or it's wrong. That's the way God looks at it. We make excuses sometimes. But don't laugh at them funny jokes. Don't call Dr. Sam Jones Reverend Jones. He ain't no reverend. Yeah, we saints ain't got no reason why to be calling him reverend. You can even call him brother if you want to. If it's old for an elder. That stuff they got in him already got him pumped up anyhow. When you call him reverend, that's, oh, Lord help us. Let's adorn the doctrine of Jesus Christ the way what we know it stands for.
Yes.
Take it and live it out on the people. That's, you can say you got $40,000 in the First National Bank, but if you can't show me the receipts, properly signed and dated, that's telling me you don't have it. But they can say anything they want to about what you say, but if you live right, they can't dispute that. That's one time, that's proof right there. You can live right. The good part about it. There's power in the blood, all else will fail.
Yes, Lord.
Do the Lamb.
The Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.
Mm-hmm.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and a fraud.
All right.
Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Amen.
All right. Saints, be careful. How many times did Adam sin before he was driven out to get out of the garden? See, one finger went back up. One time. Esau, what did he do? How many times did he act like he had before he lost his birthright? One time. Someone said you know the night about guard your sacrifice. Guard it with jealous care. Zealous care. Because the devil, them spirits, is out to pick them. He's out to get them. If he'd steal it away from you, rob you out of it, cheat you out any way you can, he's out to steal your sacrifice. Or make it a void. I don't amount to nothing. All right. May the Lord help us out. Let's see. 20. Saul, here was a man here, but you know the story, went out on a mission. Got over there instead of him doing what God said to do, and he come back and he wouldn't tell the truth. I done what you told him. I done what you told me, Donna.
You told me to go in.
And here he was. If you did what I told you to do, what mean it? The bleeding of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle. I hear some cows bleeding back over there. Where's that coming from? If you killed them all, dead cows wouldn't be lowing. He crowded him so close he finally admit, I have sinned. May the Lord help us. We're all adults, most of us grown ones. And our children, there are some of the young saints, no doubt, are sitting right here. There's a lot of them. They have not heard it about. There would be things like that, but there's plenty of things that our young folks don't know about. And if the older ones don't tell you can see the drift across the land here and there. You take to old time, let's see, I don't know too many people in California, just been out here a few times, but what I'm saying is take somebody like Brother O.B., he's been around here a long time. And I don't know if you've got any children or not, but yeah, what I'm saying is every generation seems to step down a little bit. They do not come up to the standard that the old ones laid down for them. They begin to step down a little bit. They say it's too hard. And my sister-in-law told me, I'm not going to train my children like Papa trained me. Now, her Papa was an old-timer. And he held a strict hand over the house. But when she had her children, she didn't do it. The oldest one got into trouble, killed a man right quick. The man was out, he was a foreigner, couldn't talk English, and the boy accused the man of talking about him, and the man couldn't speak English. He was on that dope. Killed a man right out there by where we were living at.
Took one of those old
things that the birds drink water, old concrete thing, and beat the man to death out there because he was talking to his wife in that foreign language. Then played crazy and got out of it. But he came out here to Los Angeles, him and his family, and got the beating up on his wife, so she put him out, and he went back to Tulsa and got killed. If you live by the sword, you're going to perish by the sword. You're bad about fighting, beating up people. He's a bad fighter. Old man told him, son, he said, I hear you bad about beating up on people. Showed him the shotgun. He said, you see that gun sitting over there? If you hit me, I'll kill you. Stayed there for a while, and then he got to train, got on that stuff, and picked up a hatchet. Started toward the old man. The old man threw that shotgun and almost blew him into right across the stomach here. And so you see, if you be bad, there's another fellow a little bit badder than you are. You'll find him sooner or later. You keep looking for him. But God wants to save you. See, everybody, these little children, old. You know, we held a revival in Mississippi here back during the Christmas week, and 6 children got saved. 4 girls and 2 boys. And I called back down just before I came out here, and they told me they're still holding on. If the old ones don't get saved, you get saved, little fellows. And I believe Brother Charles Smith, what did he get saved when he was 5 years old or 7? According to his writings, 5 years old, 7 years old. He ain't too young to get saved. All right. Luke 5:5-6. Now we understand that the Bible says in Isaiah, for he we had that killed in Isaiah, he is our lawgiver, he is our judge, and he is our king. And he is the one that gives out the law. And we are the one that are to obey that. Luke 5:5-6, read that, whoever get it.
Simon answering.
All right.
Simon answering.
Master?
We have toiled all night.
We've been fishing all night. We're fishers. We know what we're doing, but we have fished all night long and haven't caught a fish.
I have taken nothing.
Nevertheless, you said it. The Son of God said, I will let down the net.
When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net
break. One place they said 157 big fish. No net. We used to fish with nets. There's no net made, not just when fishing was on a boat. that will hold 157 big fish and won't tie up. I've fished with them, we fished with them. They're just not made that strong. Could commercial nets, yes. But the kind you carry around in a boat like them fellows are using, it will not hold it. So what happened? God just spoke to the fish and they went in there. When you put them in the boat, they just, the Lord held his hand on that hole. See, a net is made so it's got a throat, they call it, and you can go through there and get in there and get inside that thing, but when you get ready to come out, it's hard to find that opening. You can't hardly find it. And so here they is come up with 150. Lord, we have fished all night long. But because you said let down, one place it said let down at the right, on the right side. That covers two aspects. It's right because I said it. In your right hand. But sit it over on your right side. And when they did, they came with all them fish. God help us. Because of God's word. What I'm saying is, what I'm going to get out of that point is the word of God. When God said something, do it, whether you see it or whether not, whether it don't sound. If God said it, you do it. And you'll come out in a good place every time. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. All right. Titus 2, 9 and 10, we believe we'll stop right there. Maybe. I don't think so. Titus, yeah, get Luke 10, 16, somebody, and hold it. But I want Titus 2, 9, 10 first. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Rebellion. God is against rebellion. And when we tell a saint of God we're going to do something, agree with him we're going to do this, we ought to do it. Keep our word. The saint of God word is still law because we don't believe in telling things that are not right. And if we can't do it, then call them up and tell them, I'm sorry, but something happened. I can't make it there. Who have it? Somebody? All these Bible readers, read it. Anyone?
Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things.
All right. Purloining, please. Dishonesty or something like that.
Yes.
But showing all good fidelity.
Yes.
Being honest in all your dealings. Brother Robinson used to live in a little town right close to me, pastor of that church of the saints, but I never did have a chance to meet him. Brother Tomlin was one of the members of him and his wife, and so the oldest there. And one time, Brother Tomlin cashed a check at the Hoffman, Oklahoma Bank. And they gave him too much money, so they stuck it in the envelope. He just put it in the coat pocket, went on down, back down home, down the hill. And it wasn't too long, he went back up there, and he came in there and said, can we help you? Yeah. Whoever cashed my check a while ago gave me too much money. The president of the bank, at that time they had all the desks were sitting out in the open, everything on one floor. He looked up, he said, you must belong down there with Brother Robinson. That was true. Brother Robinson was an old-time saint of God, they tell me. And the man didn't know nothing about Brother Thomas, because Brother Thomas was living in Grayson, Oklahoma. But when he carried that money back, he said, you must be down there with Brother Robinson. Jesus will shine if within you.
Yes.
Proving these graces divine. Honesty pay will pay all every time. It pays off in great dividends. So, may God help us to adorn the doctrine and make attractive the way by the way we live and that we conduct ourselves. And even our speech should be different from Tom Jones, I'll tell you.
Yes.
Our attitudes, mannerisms, all those things, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. All right, we need some boss grace. You ever work for a contrary man in a company and a man, your boss is contrary? Have you? Anybody?
Yeah.
Maybe California don't have no bad bosses. Them fellas are out easy, ain't you, Brother Clifford? It's a lot of them out that way. Well, it takes grace when they'll put things off on you. They'll have you doing things that you're not supposed to do. And there's a whole lot of different kind of things. But God give us grace. A soft answer turneth away wrath. If you can so live, sometimes you have to go a long time, but it'll finally come to the place where they know there's a man that we can trust. The same Brother Tomlin, some business deal there sometime, they wanted to put somebody else and said, no, here's a man we can trust. Mr. Tomlin, he's got a bunch of kinfolks around here in Bakersfield somewhere right now. So, God help us, adorning the doctrine in all things. Well, you ever been shortchanged? Yeah. And so you've been literally, in a sense, spit upon, scoffed at, mocked. It means something to stay calm under pressure. Lord, I need you to give me some patience. Look out. When you go to asking God for some patience, you better be prepared, because it's going to come, and not the way you think it's going to come. Here come one of them hard trials, or here comes something ain't coming fast enough. I've got to wait on it. And you know, waiting is a hard job. I begin to wait on some of the saints today. I waited. Oh, sure, I got a little anxious. I wonder what's happening. And it's a hard job to wait. You can tell a man, I'll pick you up at 2:30 this afternoon, or 12 o'clock. When you go to get about 10 minutes of prayer, you go to walk in the floor looking. Just the way and that way. And God, give me some patience. I know I need more patience. Well, that the trial of your faith, what is it, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried in the fire? Them fiery trials, which is to make you adorn the doctrine in all things. Last but not least, Luke 10:16, I believe it is. Yes, ma'am, I think that's correct.
He that heareth you, heareth me.
He that heareth you, heareth me.
He that despiseth you, despiseth me.
Mm-hmm.
And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me.
So you see, it means something to obey. So the Lord, what he's saying in a sense, I believe I've told you the truth. Didn't make you shout, but it'll be good for you on the inside if you take it. And if you hear me, you hear him, because I told you what God said. Well, thought the Lord give me. And the woman somewhere along close to that he said, blessed are the womb that bare thee and the paps that gave thee suck. Yeah, that's good. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, or do what the word of God says.
Yes.
Pray for us.